It's January 2019. Welcome to Infinity Room, a podcast about music and creativity. I'm Leanne Zacharias, and I'll be in conversation with guest artists about works in progress, career arcs, and unique encounters with sound and performance. In episode one, my guest is Lenore Alford, a musician turned coder based in the San Francisco Bay Area. Lenore and I met as doctoral students in Austin, Texas, and I was pleased to get her on the phone to discuss her decision to, in fact, quit or redirect her professional trajectory as a musician. So, here we go. So, are you ready?
I am totally ready.
Excellent. First, I'm wondering if you would be willing to just outline your development as a musician, just your advanced training and your professional life as a musician.
Okay. So I started off as a pianist, and that's how I saw myself in that world, and got my bachelor's and then my master's degree, very much specialized in that world. Didn't even feel so specialized as a performer that it never even occurred to me to take a composition class or anything else. And then started working as a chamber musician, mostly a collaborative pianist and a bit of a soloist too. And then had the epiphany moment actually, I guess, 5 years after that, about that I really loved the organ more than anything else. And then became an organist and got my doctorate in organ performance later, and then became became a conductor along the way as well. And then with the doctorate in organ and all the things that I learned in that context when I was older and old enough to look back and see things more clearly, realized that what I really love doing is arranging music and composing music and being that more complete musician. And at that time was sort of horrified that I had cut that part out earlier, and I was able to do the research to see how that had come about and what forces are at play there, including the gender role and other traditions in Western art music. So, that's kind of the path I was on.
Mm-hmm. And several years ago, you made a pretty significant career shift. Can you talk about how that evolved and what you are doing now?
Yes. So I guess it was just about 2.5 years ago, I quit my music director job and decided to pursue a career instead in technology. And the reasons for that are so complicated that I still am figuring it out, though it's never been in question that it was completely the right thing to do. There were so many reasons that are so complicated that I could sum them up in a way by saying it was mainly because of the patriarchy that I had to do that. And I could say that there were so many other things at play too, including my personal life and background. But I'll just say, let's say, maybe the overriding reason was that the job had become, you know, I was music director, I had created a lot of programs in order to sustain a full-time position at this church where I was working. And in doing so, had created so much bureaucracy for myself inadvertently, and so much time dealing with people and so much time fundraising that it really, the thrill of being a musician was simply gone. And I had to work so hard to try to even have time at my instrument and time to find the way to be excellent in the way that I, you know, demand that I be. be. So it just had become tiresome. I was sort of a victim of my own successful program, if I might say. And I felt overwhelmingly that the older I got, I was unable to provide the kind of emotional labor that was really expected of me in that position. And the older I got, the more I saw that the reason those things were so expected of me was because of my gender. And I just didn't see a way to change it. And I, at the same time, discovered coding. It's always everywhere now, of course, on the West Coast or in the Bay Area, that they need so many more coders and so many more developers. And I started doing it and discovered, freaking loved it. So it's suddenly it was a door open to another life that I saw that I could do and enjoy doing, because previously I've always thought, well, I'm a musician. That's who I am. That's what I do. I've always been that. I can't do anything else. And all of a sudden, voila, I found out that was not true at all. In fact, there are many other things that I can do and would be very happy doing. And one of them is what I'm doing now. I write Python code, and it is absorbing and it drives me crazy. But at the same time, when I've solved a problem and triumphed or in some way, kicked its butt, I am ecstatic. And it's absolutely, it's so involved, and it involves all my thinking. And it is something that is so, that I'm so loving and enjoying, that I do not miss playing my instrument one bit. So.
Can you talk about the connections, if any, that you've observed and discovered between music and coding now that you write code professionally?
One of the most fascinating things that I have discovered and really want to delve into more is the form. So the similarity between some types of coding and let's say what I think would be most obvious would be the fugue form. And there is, this type of programming is called object-oriented programming. And there's a set way that you do it with, and it corresponds so interestingly to the way one might set about creating, imagining a fugue and then creating it according to the structure. And I think fugue is maybe the best example because it is so structured and there's so many exact rules in place that it corresponds well to code. So that's one element, one connection that I would love to read about if anyone has already researched this, or write about myself sometime. In general, though, I just see that it's a search for the absolute, just like music is. And I think that's why I love being a musician in the first place, because it isn't a place of absolutes. You don't have to wonder. It's either the right pitch or it isn't. It's not a thing where you have to conjecture or search. You can achieve it, and when you've done it, it's there, it's happening. And same with code, of course. Either the thing works or it doesn't, and if it doesn't work, then you know, and so does everybody else, and you're gonna have to fix it. And when it runs, it runs, and it gives you exactly, you can have exactly the result that you want, and you can tinker with it until you get exactly that result. Very similar to practicing an instrument and having that output out there. So I've found in the absorption in it when you are working in it, it's really identical to practicing an instrument and being in that zone. So I've found, yeah, many, many similarities, and I feel like maybe those pathways in my brain were just already kind of there, and I just had to sort of see them or recreate them in a new way, but it's been remarkable to me.
That's fascinating. And do you think, I mean, I guess one can only guess, but what parts of your skill set that you developed as a musician and as a performer, I mean, can you identify specific skills that you can see being directly translatable to what you do now?
Yeah, definitely. So one of them is, I don't know any musicians who are not, I mean, successful professional musicians who are not completely detail-oriented. We see every detail. That's our training. We have to see everything on the page and understand exactly what everything on the page contributes to the whole. And there is not one thing that a professional musician will miss on a score. You can't miss a single thing. So this type of detail is not common in most professions. You know, the phrase detail-oriented, I'm very detail-oriented, will come up a lot with people, but in my experience working with people who aren't musicians, it's pretty rare. And guess what? I found that the developers that I've met and the coders on forums in other ways have that same total compulsion to detail that the musician has to have. And this comes out even in the way they use language, even in the way that they will write. I've noticed that, you know, musicians are generally very good writers because, of course, we're all about language. Same with coders. You will not find grammatical errors or spelling errors of any kind. You will have beautifully written pieces or questions or answers. So that's one thing. But it just in general, with code, it is all about details. And that's a huge, it's just the way our brains have had to develop. And that's been one parallel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's fascinating. You studied with Jerry Hancock when in your doctorate degree, who's a legendary performer at the organ and a legendary improviser. And I know you studied improvisation with him, among other things. Do you draw upon that at all in your work now?
You know, I think the thing that I draw on, not the improvisation, I wouldn't say. I don't think I've been able to transfer that skill set. But what I do draw on is the what I was so inspired by Dr. Hancock was his absolute depth of ideas. Instead of having two ideas, he would have 20 ideas. And then if you exhausted all of those, he would have 20 more. And he was so inspiring in that way. And that, I think, I never understood before the creativity that is behind technical pursuits or writing code. It's very creative. You have to be able to imagine things and you have to be able to have ideas. And so when I'm stuck on a problem, I just have to come up with idea after idea of how I'm going to solve it. I have to try one thing and if that didn't work, okay, then I'm going to go to the second. And I think it's just that way of thinking that there is never an end to how your invention, that is one thing that I've been able to transfer.
Mm-hmm. So what is your relationship to music now? Like, I'm curious, do you, you were just mentioning to me that you attended a concert this weekend. Do you enjoy attending concerts as much as you did or more or less than you did when you were a full-time musician?
Yeah, I think that's such an interesting question. So now it's been, 2.5 years since I was a professional musician. And number one, I would say, and I don't think I was alone in this, when I was a musician, I didn't go to that many concerts, full stop, because I was either performing myself or there was, you know, some other, or I was in a rehearsal. I just didn't go to that many. And I think it's just because my life was all filled with music all the time. And I didn't have that, and you don't have the time, basically. I think that's true. And another thing was, when I was a freelancer, too, I wouldn't want to buy a ticket in advance, because I'd probably get a gig and then I wouldn't be able to go, etc. So I got out of the practice of going to a lot of concerts, whereas now I absolutely go to so many. I'm subscribing to concert series, and it's just so important to me to go. And also, I mean, when you're a musician, as this is also, I think this is true of so many musicians, we live in a lot of silence. You know, musicians have silent homes. We don't,
yes,
we're not always blasting music or anything. So I still have that. I still live quite silently. So when I go to, it's so great that most of the music I hear, in a way, is live performance. And it's as though I'm, you know, in some bygone century when that was all the music you heard. So I enjoy this kind of relationship to music. And I will say, when I go and I hear music now, things that I've, you know, chosen to hear, it is such a wonderful experience to me, because I can go there both as a person who can experience and understand the nuances that are going on in the way only a performer can do, and yet I am removed from it, so that there's no work involved. I'm not thinking, oh, I should add this to my repertoire, or oh, I should find out what that is. No, I can just sit and totally take it in. I do think I enjoy it even more than I ever did, if that's possible. I mean, music is such a huge, I can never say what a great, huge thing it is in my life, but now I just feel like I have like this complete enjoyment of it in a way that I hadn't experienced before, honestly. And yeah, it's fantastic.
I guess last question, how then do you identify, you know, not necessarily about how you make a living, but do you identify yourself as a non-performing musician, or a musician and a coder, simply both?
Right. Well, I'm definitely not a professional musician anymore. And yeah, I would say I would just have to go to my Twitter profile. I call myself a musician almost first. I can't remember. I'd have to look at the order, but I think I say developer and musician and a few other things. So yeah, I could never ever not have that as a huge part of my identity. And indeed, the identity part has been quite interesting. It's been very humbling to me to not have that identity, to kind of have as a, maybe not a persona, but just as who I am,
yes,
in the world anymore. And it's been humbling to just strip it away and just be me, just doing, fumbling around and doing whatever, without kind of that title. Or I think that, you know, when you are a musician, many of the parties you go to or events, you're kind of the celebrity, or you're kind of this guest artist or something. And so you're given this type, you don't have to just be you're often the musician, let's say. So a lot of social interactions are in that context. So to have that gone was interesting. I mean, I'm old enough that it wasn't that big of a deal, but I did notice that it was different. So, and in a way, the other part about that is I felt a bit more connected to other people too. I didn't feel like I was kind of, you know, as there's been recent interesting articles lately that you may have read in New York Times about music as a cult. And I feel like there is that part of it, like we feel like we're in our own community and we're among people who understand us in a way. And I feel that by breaking out of that and entering a different community, I just feel a lot more connected to people in a more general way, and not different, or, you know. So that identity piece is something that I'm sure I'll keep exploring, but it's a piece of myself that, yeah, I can never see myself else.
Well, I want to thank you for chatting with me about this, and yeah, thank you for your time today.
All right, Leanne, thank you for the great question.
This brings episode 1 and my conversation with Lenore Alford to a close. Episode 2 of Infinity Room will be available sometime in the next few weeks. Our theme music is Ben Reimer playing Ringer by Nicole Lise. Thanks to Pat Carabray, who manages the Omnivorous Listeners blog, hosting this series. And thanks to you for listening.